angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a good woman. So good in so many ways. Exemplary in so many ways. Out of all the thousands of women in Palestine at that time, God chose her. Out of all of them, He chose her to be the mother of the Messiah. What an incredible honor. If you look back in chapter 1 to verse 6, you get a description of John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they are commended for their character. We're told they're both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. If the people chosen to be the parents of the forerunner of the Messiah were good people, what do you know about the people chosen to raise the Son of God? There's no question. We're talking about good people and a good woman in Mary. We also know, if you look at what Gabriel said to her, "The Lord is with you," the angel says. Well, the Lord's not with the wicked. If He's with her, it's because she is a good person that is trying, honestly trying, to do His will and keep His ways. And what impresses me about her, on top of all that, she possessed this character at a young age. We're told that she's betrothed. Jewish girls were often betrothed in their early teens, as early as 12 or 13 even. So most likely we're talking about a young woman who's going to show this kind of faith and obedience. Appreciate her. We don't worship Mary, for Mary is not worthy of our worship. She's not, and she would have been the first one to tell you that. But we can see in her a good example, someone who loved the Lord, and we can learn a great deal from her. So let's do that together tonight. And one of the first things I believe we see about her is she is absolutely a woman of faith. Young though she may be, that doesn't matter. This is a woman of faith. Look at verse 28. When Gabriel appears to her, she is troubled at his appearance. And he gives her assurance, and he goes on to deliver the message. Verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." The only thing she asked is about the details. She believes. She absolutely believes. The question she asked is not one of doubt. She's just trying to put things together. Oh, okay, well, how can this be since I do not know a man? You're telling me that I'm going to conceive and bear a son. Well, what does that mean? Do I need to go ahead and marry Joseph now so this child will be his? Is that what you're telling me? She's just working out the logistics. This isn't a doubt that what God said will come to pass. She's not like Zacharias earlier in the chapter who does doubt and is punished for it. She believes. She's just trying to figure out exactly how this is going to come to pass. And the angel says, "Oh, no. This child is going to be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not going to be Joseph's son in the flesh." When Gabriel explains this, she has no further questions. Can you imagine? What would your laundry list of questions have looked like if this message came? She appears satisfied with that, even though something supernatural clearly has just been foretold. Notice what her next words are. After all of, can you imagine just this information being dropped on you? Her next words, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord." What does that mean? Okay, I believe it and I accept it. Elizabeth, her kinswoman, drop down to verse 45 in chapter 1. She also acknowledges that Mary believed. It says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." So, very clearly, here's more evidence that when Mary heard this, she absolutely believed. And then notice her response. Look at verse 46. She is so thankful to God for this honor that's been given to her. Let's just read a few of these. Verse 46 beginning. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Well, she's right about that one. We're doing it tonight. She was correct. Keep going. Verse 49. "For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. We could read the rest of it, but one thing that stands out to me in this section, and I don't know that I've paid attention to it before, Mary is a woman who knows the Scriptures. You ever think about that as you're going through this song of praise that she sings? What she says sure sounds a whole lot like what we read in the Old Testament. Look at verse 50. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. Mark your spot and go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. And then Psalm 103, we'll look at verse 17. Give you a moment to get there. I should have put these up on the PowerPoint for you so we could compare. Verse 17 of Psalm 103. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. She just said the same thing, didn't she? I'll give you another one. Drop down one verse, the first part of verse 51. He has shown strength with His arm. Turn to Isaiah 40. We'll look at verse 10 together. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. Verse 53, back in Luke chapter 1. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. Especially that first part. He has filled the hungry with good things. Go to Psalm 107. Verse 9. Psalm 107, verse 9. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. If I didn't know better, I would think this woman knows God's Word. I would think she's quite familiar with Scripture. Tells us something else about her, doesn't it? She knows God's Word, and she knows how to use it. Do you? Do I? What an example for us. What she had been given, what she had been taught. She didn't just let it go in one ear and out the other. She is interested in these things, and when she presents this, and I know the Holy Spirit is involved, and I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But she is familiar with God's Word. Tells us a lot about the character of this young woman. Back to chapter 1, verse 27. She is a woman of purity. Luke, guided by the Holy Spirit, tells us plainly that she's a virgin there in 27. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. She says this of herself. In verse 34, after she's been told all this, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The idea there is, I've never been with a man that way. I am pure. I am a virgin. This is at a time when morality was not exactly in heavy demand in the world. You read the book of Romans and read chapters 1 and chapters 2, and Paul makes it very clear that immorality was rampant, and not only among the Gentiles, but also among the Jews. Both of them are rebuked for the stuff they did. They just didn't treat morality like they should, but not this young woman. She did. She was pure. She knew what God expected. She knew what God wanted, and she was pure of heart and of body. She knew what God expected, and she did her best to be that. Is being pure in God's sight this important to you? To me. It was to her. The woman God chose to raise His son, purity was important to her. She was also a woman of willing heart. She was willing to take on this task that had been given to her. Now, it would have been a great honor to be the mother of the Messiah. No question. When you look at verse 43, Elizabeth shows honor and respect to Mary there. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Obviously it was an honor. Just for Mary not to mention the child, but for Mary to come into her house. Why the mother of my Lord coming to me? This is an honor for me just to be in your presence. But this task of bearing the Messiah wasn't all going to be roses. There were some terrible things that this woman was going to have to go through. It was going to bring all kinds of troubles and all kinds of dangers. First of all, this conception is miraculous. This is not Joseph's child. People might just assume adultery had taken place. And under the law of Moses, what would have been the consequence of that? Stoning. So this could have been dangerous to her life. But she trusted the Lord. She knew that He would take care of her and take care of things. She's putting her life on the line, though, to go through with this and agree to this. Secondly, the enemies of God are surely going to come after the boy. We see that. We see that as early as Matthew 2 with Herod. When he finds out, what does he do? Oh, let me know where he is. I'd love to go worship. Yeah. And he kills everybody in the region around Bethlehem, just trying to get rid of this one who will be called King of the Jews. It was dangerous, not only for Jesus, but for his family. They will flee to Egypt until Herod's dead because of the danger. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Simeon is going to warn her about this. The just and devout man, when they bring Jesus to be circumcised, he's there at the temple area. This is Luke 2 and verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simeon is warning her about the personal pain she's going to face because of being his mother. She's going to stand before the cross, helpless, as she watches her son being crucified there. And even if she doesn't know the exact nature of all of this, she knows it's going to involve suffering on his part and on hers. How would you deal with that? And I would suggest this. Leading up to, so that happens at the cross, but what about all the times leading up to there? Was that the first day anybody wanted to kill Jesus? They just grabbed him that day? Now, they've been building up to this for a long time. John chapter 5, just notice the attitude that the religious leaders had. Verse 16, I believe, is what I want. Yeah, John 5, verse 16. "For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath." Drop down to verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself evil with God." Guys, do we think Mary was clueless about all that? Like, she never heard that any of that was going on? She never heard any rumors that people wanted to kill her son? And you just have to wonder, did she sit there in her house and think, "I wonder if today's the day when they come to take my boy away? I haven't thought about these things." But imagine what it would have been like for her. The stress on her, wondering and waiting and knowing, seeing the harsh looks that people directed toward her son, and knowing that he's only doing what's right, and all the suffering that he went through, it's not because he'd done anything wrong. And she watched it, and she saw it, and she heard the comments, and yet she still went through with it. She bore all of this. And in spite of all of that, what does she say? "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." In spite of all the danger, in spite of all the suffering that's guaranteed to afflict this family, she says, "Yes, Lord, I am willing to take on this task that you have given to me." How incredible is that faith? Are you and I willing to follow the word of the Lord when it's this difficult, when it guarantees that some trouble is going to come? She did. She could. And she would. Mary was a woman of reflection. She thought deeply about things. And you get to see this a few times throughout the accounts that we have. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. "When an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the field and told them about the newborn Savior, shepherds," oh boy, they were ready. They hurried to go find him. Verse 16, they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So what do the shepherds do? Well, they tell everybody. Anybody they can see, anybody they can get to be still long enough, they are spreading all this word. But Mary pondered these things in her heart. Well, verse 49 or so, you've got a 12-year-old Jesus astonishing the teachers in the temple with the questions that he asks and the answers that he gives. And he responds to Mary's worrying. You remember she's worrying, why did you do this to me and your daddy? Why did you run off like this? Of course, his answer, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? There's nothing disrespectful about what he's saying. It's just matter of fact. Why were you looking? Where did you think I was going to be? This is what I'm here for. And all of these great scholars of the law are talking and teaching, and Jesus is answering. And he's asking questions, and they're thinking, whoa, how does he have that understanding? And what are we told? Drop down to verse 51. He went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, Mary knew some things. The angel had told her some things, but she didn't know everything. Imagine her constantly seeing things like this about her son. We get him as a babe, as a child, as a 12-year-old, as a man. Well, other stuff happened in that period. We're just not told. But who saw it? Mary saw it. I mean, can you just imagine her watching her son day in and day out and being constantly reminded, this is no ordinary boy. This is my son, but this is also God's son. And just imagine watching him, his compassion that he surely showed to others, and how seriously he took doing the will of God, and how he had wisdom that was just so far beyond his age, and how surely she treasured those things in her heart. Just imagine what this woman did. Now consider this. This is Mary's son, yes. But this is also her Savior. Mary needed him to die on the cross for her just as badly as you and I needed him to die on the cross for us. Right? This is his mother. But she's also a woman who had sinned and needed those sins to be taken away. The ransom we talked about this morning had to be paid for her too. So this is her son, but it's also her Savior. Have you ever thought about Mary taking the Lord's Supper? What a unique perspective she would have had. When you and I take it, when we took it this morning, what do you try to do? What do I try to do? I try to picture it. I try to see him in my mind's eye. And we read the scriptures and we think about him. And I think about that bloody face and that body beaten all for me. Mary didn't have to think about it. Mary remembered it. It was a memory for her. She stood there and watched it happen. It was burned into her mind. So every time she took of the Lord's Supper, she didn't have to think about what it might be like. She just had to remember. She saw it. So that's one thing. But what else would she have seen? She would have had memories of those chubby little cheeks with tears running down them that Mama kissed away. And she would have had memories of him lying asleep in her arms, but even in his sleep, holding on to her finger, clutching him with those fat little hands. See, Mary remembered that too. Because though this is her Savior, yes, it's also her son. I don't think I have ever considered the unique perspective that Mary would have gone through every time she took the Lord's Supper. She is remembering his body and his blood shed for her, my Savior, but also my boy. Do you appreciate her? Just think about what she thought and considered and reflected on. Can you imagine what must have gone through her mind? Oh, how much her Savior meant to her. Do we reflect deeply on what he means to us? Does he mean that much to us? She was also a woman of reserve. Though greatly honored, never do we see this woman with her nose in the air, trying to be the center of attention. She wasn't this loud, demanding soul. She doesn't blab everything to everybody. She seems to embody what Paul would later say when he wrote to the Thessalonians. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. That seems to be her. It's the quiet spirit. She was submissive to the will of her God. Let it be to me according to your word. She was submissive to her husband. When Joseph takes his extremely pregnant betrothed wife from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to be registered, do you get any complaining from her? Do you see anything in there that acts like she was mad the whole time? She goes. She goes because she trusts her husband's judgment. She trusts her God to take care of them. She knows that this is what God wants. This is right. And so she goes. And then later, when word comes to Joseph in a dream, you get up, you take your wife and your child, and you go to Egypt, and you don't wait. You do it now. And they leave in the middle of the night. There's no, oh, Joseph, he's such a young boy. This is going to be hard on him. She goes because she trusts her husband. She trusts her God. She submits to that will, and she goes. She's also submissive to her Lord. Turn to John chapter 19. Her Lord, who was also her son, but nevertheless is still her Lord. John chapter 19, look at 26. When Jesus is on the cross, let's start in 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, which we take to be John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. When Jesus is on the cross and he points to John, and he tells his mother, "Behold your son." Does she argue with him? Does she say, now look, I've got other sons who can take care of me. I don't need to go with John. What does she do? Read the last part of verse 27. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. She submits, because even if it's not what she might personally have wanted, she knows the way of her Lord is best. So she humbly does as he's bidden her to do. I've missed that. I don't know how many times. Many in our world, just look at these traits. Many in our world would hate this woman. They would hate her faith. They would mock it. And they would just despise her purity. And they would look and, oh boy, you get down to her submissiveness and reserve, and they would, oh, just lose their minds. But what did God think about her? What did God say about this woman that he chose to raise his son? Go back to where we started. Luke 1, verse 28. This is how he felt about her. Gabriel, the angel, comes in. And he said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." The world can say whatever it wants to about a woman like this, but God loves her. He loves her and he appreciates her and he honors her. So the world can do whatever it wants to. But I hope you and I appreciate these qualities in the women in our lives as well. Do we love and appreciate her? Good example. Again, Mary is not worthy of worship, but she is very worthy of imitation. She is. Ladies, is this the kind of woman you want to be? Faith and purity and a willing heart. A woman of reflection and reserve. Men, is this a woman we respect and honor? Do we do right by a woman like this? We should. This is the kind of woman we should want our boys to marry and our girls to be. This is a woman that the Lord loves. Turn to 1 Peter 3. We'll look at verses 3 and 4. As Peter is writing to wives, he says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Is this the kind of heart that God sees when He looks at us? Go ahead and get your psalm books out. Can we follow her example? Now, I know her situation is unique. Of course it is. There's not going to be a need for another Messiah to be born. But those traits that we talked about, those are still needed. What does our faith look like? Are we striving to be pure? And do those things, do we reflect on God's Word? Do we have a willing heart when He commands us to not make excuses and try to find a way to get out of it, but to say, "Let it be to me according to your Word"? What if you didn't like that? Well, but it's God's will. I know He knows best. Is that descriptive of us as a people? If you need to respond to the invitation that's offered, that the Lord offers, please do that. We'll help you any way we can. We'll pray with you. We'll study with you. You may need to obey the Lord by being baptized. We can do that tonight. Water's ready for that. You may need to repent. Whatever it is, let's take care of it. Let's give the Lord what He wants. Please stand as we sing at this time.